What is up, everyone? It is episode 222 of the Fight Library. I am your host, Blaine Henry, and today we are talking UFC Vegas 46 and KSW 66. So I'm doing this. It's a new year, 2022. We're getting it started different. Last year, I covered mostly MMA and a lot of boxing. But this year, I want to cover more MMA, more kickboxing and stuff like that, in addition to the boxing and stuff I already do. So I'm going to cover other promotions as well, aside from the UFC. Today, we're talking UFC Vegas 46 and KSW. Other promotions in the future is ONE Championship. I'm skipping Bellator because they're a laughing stock. And KSW, probably Ryzen too. The main Ryzen cards. But anyways, for the podcast, it's all going to be in one. You're going to catch each week all of these episodes. So get ready for that. For the YouTube guys, the second link will be in the description. So we're talking UFC Vegas 46 this episode, for example. And the next episode, we'll talk KSW. Let's dive in. Before we do, though, check me out on Twitter, BlaineHenryTFL. That's where I am, and you can get at me and talk to me about whatever you want. Yeah, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you guys. Tell me what you think. Or you can comment on YouTube, because that's easy. Or if you want to be an extra cool guy, get access to some of the free stuff, like the strike speed variability and rhythm with Cyril Gane, the piece I'm dropping tomorrow on my Patreon, $5 a month. It's well worth it. You get that and everything else I've done on Patreon. New stuff every Monday. So, yes, UFC Vegas 46. Let's go ahead and get right into it. So, Giga Chikadze versus Calvin Kattar is what we're going to be talking about. It was a fantastic fight, especially early, the first round. It was just a really good showing for Calvin Kattar, all right? So, if you tuned into the pre-fight podcast, I said I'd pick Giga because of him being better on the feet, and I did question his cardio. Giga's cardio sucks. Terribly. And I won't say that it actually sucks. We saw him go three with Edson almost. It was that he's throwing himself out of position with these kicks. He fell on the ground, which is like, you know, coming from him, that's like a really weird situation because it's like, Giga, you're a kickboxer and this is what you're known for. Why are you, you know, you got great, precise, slick strikes, but why are you throwing yourself out of position like this? And sure enough, you know, early on, Giga, he coming with a leg kick. He's flustering Calvin with speed. We could tell that Giga was better at stand-up, honestly. And then, like, early on in the first round, Giga slips, and Calvin gets the body lock and gets to the ground. And Calvin's just laying on top of him. But it's very apparent early on that Giga Chikadze does not know how to get up. That's a problem. You are the number, what, 8 contender in the UFC, and you have no idea how to get up. What are you going to do when you fight Alexander Volkanovski like you said you wanted to? I can tell you what Giga was going to do. Nothing. Volk was going to batter him if they booked that fight. It was a horrible idea. Hindsight, you know. And I had questions about Giga's takedown defense, but let's be honest, featherweight's not the most wrestling-heavy division. Think about that for a second. You got Volk, Holloway, Yair, Korean Zombie. Ortega can't wrestle. He can grapple, but he can't wrestle. He'll choke you out, but he can't wrestle. Frankie's gone. Aldo never wrestled. Who else do you got in 145? Just think about it. Zabit was the one that wrestled, and he wasn't even that great at it. Like, he was a striker first. Chad Mendez, gone. 145 is a striker's division. And that's why Giga got so high up on the list, because he was fighting strikers. He had no choice, though. It's, you know, he's not dodging anything. He's just fighting what the division has to offer for him. So, you know, Giga, he gave up his back. And then he turned at the end of the round and ended up on top. But Kattar had an arm triangle sunk in. You could tell Kattar was a lot more slick than Giga was standing up. So Giga turns to his back, Calvin gets the arm triangle, and he got the body lock, and the round ended. The one good grappling I ever saw from Giga was that, and that was it. So, started round two, Giga's hitting hard and fast still, but Kattar, he starts switching up to southpaw. You know, he was fighting in both stances to take away that liver kick that Giga looks for, the Giga kick. Yeah, about that. he swapped to southpaw. It worked perfect. Sure, he can kick him in the other side, but it's not going to shut him down. Still block it with both hands. And he did just that. So I could tell, you know, round two, I thought was Giga, but they gave it to Cater also. Most of the cards, I think, were 50 to whatever. But Cater started having success right there with straight shots, and it was popping Giga's head back. Wow. You know? I'm like, oh, this fight is turning around. Holy crap. And it did. The fight turned around. Giga, he ugly sprawl, man. He's bent over at the waist and just, he doesn't know what he's doing. And Cater goes and gets another takedown to end round two. And, you know, it was the forward pressure the entire fight, especially from round two on. It's the forward pressure that really, really bothered Giga Chikadze. And we saw that. Round three was same thing. More from Cater, more pressure and keeping Giga Chikadze on his back feet. Perfect game plan. Crowd the kicker, right? So if you got a guy who's going to go for the legs and the body and stuff, get to him or he can't kick you. If he's at range, he's going to kick you, bro. Giga played just that, you know. And Edson Barboza, he started bringing that, but Giga timed it. He was faster. But Cater did the right thing. Another thing I noticed in round three, Giga can't lip leg out. He just took off running with one leg. In between, in the middle of the round, Cater didn't come forward quite as much. But you could see Giga was getting tired still, so he didn't need to as much. He's throwing, he's overextending himself, big strikes, he's putting himself out of position, which what got him in trouble in the first place, in the first round. So, yeah. Cater, he, round four comes around, he's just starting to throw lazy jabs, and they're working, though, you know. They're out there, he's touching them up, and this is just piecing up him little by little, piling on the damage. Sort of like Max Holloway did to Calvin a year ago. Kind of weird. So yeah, round five, Giga comes out urgent. He knows he needs a knockout because he's going to lose this fight. He almost does. Calvin Cater, you know, he did a good job coming back with the pressure, and he just didn't let Giga breathe the entire fight, and that was like the theme of the whole fight. It was a beautiful game plan from Calvin Cater for sure. He got hit a lot though, which we'll talk about in a second here. But yeah, so Cater, he's coming, you know, good comeback. He didn't let Giga breathe. And then as the fight was ending, Giga starts headhunting because I'm super desperate now. And then Calvin Cater, the whole fight, he was throwing these. And then finally, he throws a jab and then he comes over the top with a right elbow. And that landed on Giga, and Giga was wobbly, but he was saved by the bell. So what's next for Giga Chikadze? Man, I really don't know. He's great, though, man. He's a good kickboxer. I do like him. But at the same time, the takedown defense, I don't think is there. You know? I don't think the takedown defense is there. And that's going to hurt him going forward in this fight. In this sport, I mean. Who would I like to see him fight next? I really don't know. Brian Ortega could get his confidence up and give him a higher fight, you know, but that's still, nah. Yair would be a really fun one. That's just two strikers, you know. Keep him away from Max. Yeah, it's a bad fight. He's going to drown him. I don't know. Let me look up the UFC fighter rankings because I don't prepare for these, apparently. But for Calvin Cater, You can argue, you know, I don't know. So Korean Zombie's getting it. Yair would be a good one for Calvin Cater or Brian Ortega. For Giga though, you're looking below eight because he was ranked eighth. You got Mufsar Evloev. He's got a fight coming up though. Bruce Leroy would be a good one. Dan Ige with the jab and Josh Emmett would be a decent fight. I don't know, man. I really don't know. Cater, though, you know, he's moving up, but the top of the division's, like, crowded by Max Holloway. You know, yeah. Or above Cater, you got Korean Zombie, who just got the short notice fight. Yair Rodriguez could get the fight with Cater, but I don't know if the timelines are going to work up with that. Brian Ortega might be a better timeline because he just got the daylights beat out of him, and he's going to need some time off. But yeah, so talking about Cater, I want to circle back to that for a second. You know, he got pieced up in the Max Holloway fight, and we saw him got pieced up against Giga as well. Now, granted, Giga's a really good striker, even though some of the shortcomings we saw of him, pretty rough. But, you know, he doesn't move his head, and I'd like to see a little bit more of that going forward. And he said that in his post-fight interview that he would like to, you know, clean things up a little bit. So, you know, move your head, bro. Don't get hit a lot. Ooh, man. That's why he lost to Max. That's why he got beat up by Giga, because he still got beat up pretty bad. KSW 66 time. Marian Zolkowski and Boris Mankowski. I'm sorry. I'm going to butcher these two guys' names, so y'all get ready for it. My coon ass can't keep up. Not with these polls. Anyway, so shameless plug, I interviewed Marian Zolkowski before the fight. Check that out. It's pretty cool. And I just like plugging my stuff because I work hard on it, and I think you guys would enjoy this one. He's got some cool quotes, and I got some cool graphics coming with him tomorrow. Anyway, so Boris started out this fight in round one, pushing the pressure, and he's the former welterweight champion, so he's got the muscle advantage. But it was really interesting because Marion was bigger than Boris. So I'm going to use these two guys' first name because I can't keep saying Zolkowski and Mankowski. I'm going to mess that up terribly. So, you know, Boris, he got Marion to the fence, and Marion's the defending lightweight champion, and Boris came down to fight him. Anyway, so he used his size, but it didn't work the first time. And we would see it work in the second round, but we're not there yet, right? So anyways, Marion, he's really light on his feet, and he has a beautiful 1-2. If you've never watched this guy fight before, it's just a beautiful a jab. He's orthodox, so it's a straight left and then a straight right in there. He fires it right up the middle. It's nice. He has a beautiful, and he uses it differently in the whole fight, in which we see at KSW 66. So, Boris, though, the tail of the fight for him was to get to the ground, and we saw that. He got the body lock against the fence and knees, but he no takedowns. He was suffering trying to get this, you know, and as he shot for the hips, Marion did a good job of circling out. Now, Marion's last loss was against Metsus Gamrot, which was a unanimous decision. And he won the belt in his very next fight. That one was for the belt, and he won the belt in his next fight after Gamrot vacated and went to the UFC. So he struggled on the ground, and this was another good test because Boris came in and tried that. So near the end of round one, you saw very beautiful that 1-2, and like he'll double up behind the jab sometimes, which is, I love that. That's great striking. But this time he 1-2. He came with it again, and it was perfect, you know. This guy, though, he's just hitting. He's got a meat head and wouldn't knock him out. Like, no. This was a really good fight for him to take, too. So, another round two. Beautiful, beautiful jab. So, Boris, what it drove me nuts, he has a fast and punishing leg kick that he was hitting Marion with. And Marion, he posts up on that lead leg a lot, a la Conor McGregor style. And you could really cause some damage to the leg doing that and mess with his power, his mobility, and ability to stand in general. But, yeah, anyway, so instead of kicking the leg and getting the takedown, which would have worked wonders for Boris, he just blitzes in and bum rushes and pushes against the fence. But in round two, he finally locks his hands. He gets his hands locked. Oop, I hit my mic. Sorry. And he grabs him, picks him up, and slams him to the ground. Now, Boris did a good job. He moved to half guard here. And you see half guard instead of people playing in full guard because there's not as much a chance for submission. And you can control your fighter better there and get some more ground and pound in. And Boris stayed in half guard. Marion was content on holding, but there was no, like, effort for him to scoot to the fence, which I was worried about it. I was like, oh, this might be the beginning of the end here for Marion. And Boris, you know, he kept him there, but Marion wouldn't scoot to the fence. It was only a couple feet away, and he should be wall walking there, getting to the fence and using the wall as his support, as his like post to get back up. But he didn't do that. Round ends with Boris on top. Round three, Marion comes with more straight shots, but this time you notice he doesn't fold. He knows he's been there before. He lost to Masoud Gamrot like this, and he starts pushing forward. I love it. You know, a lot of times once a fighter gets taken down and beaten by that, when they get taken down in another fight, they'll just kind of crumble under the pressure, I guess. Marion did not. You know, so kudos to him. And then I noticed in this round too, Marion started throwing the right cross to the body. So I told you he has that beautiful jab, and a beautiful two, but he follows up the jab all different every time. And this is another thing. He throws the cross, and now we see a cross down low to the body, which, you know, keeps him at bay, works on his cardio, but this guy's big and he keeps coming forward the whole fight. So it paid off, but it didn't like change the game for him, which was, you know, whatever. So, you know, Boris pushes to the fence again, but Marion, he gets the whizzer. He keeps Boris from locking his hand. You can tell he's been working on his takedown defense. You know, Boris, he started with more calf kicks, but he wouldn't follow up with that. You know, he's just throwing them for throwing them. Round four, another variation of coming off the jab. So Marion throws a jab, but then he doubles up. Like I mentioned earlier, he doubles up on the jab. He doubled up here, 1-1-2. So jab, jab, cross. It was perfect. Like, he used the jab great. Boris caught Marion swinging wild with a little hook, and he times a double perfect. Okay, I'm like, oh no, we're going to the ground again. He's not going to be able to get up. This time, though, I guess his coaches reminded him in his corner because he crossed the defense. He's on all fours. He kind of gave his back up. Okay, no sweat. You can't be needing the head, at least. This ain't one championship or rising. And he gets to the fence, and, you know, Boris has the back. But Marion keeps fighting the hands, keeps fighting, and he gets out. Another real cool thing you'll see, because I think Marion will end up in the UFC for sure. Another cool thing you see, he has this pawing right hand. Like, it's almost a hammer fist he comes down with after his jab. It's like a right hook he throws, and it's beautiful. I like it. It's just kind of slappy. It's kind of, I don't want to compare this guy to Muhammad Ali, but it's kind of like the slapping shots Ali used to throw, just kind of pap, 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 pap. It's not going to kill you, but it will add up. And they add it up. You know, Marion, he's throwing the jab, and Boris came. This was a really cool moment, too, in round four. So he throws the jab, and Boris comes overhand right, which that's a common counter to it. But when Marion is throwing the jab, he throws his elbow up and catches that. You'll see Dustin Poirier do that a lot. Jack Slack calls it the hillbilly shoulder roll. I don't know if that's the actual common name for it. I've just heard him say it. It's not really a shoulder roll he did there, but he did block it with his elbow up, which was pretty cool. I liked seeing that. Yeah, so more blitzing from Boris. He just ran out of things to do. He ran out of attempts. I don't know what else to do. Round five, Boris throws a kick, and Marion catches it. And when you catch the kick, you're supposed to, with your lead hand, pop like that. Now, we saw with Impa Kasanganai, was it him? No, it was Joaquin Buckley with the taekwondo kick, the epic back kick, but, you know, whatever. that didn't happen. Instead of holding it and standing there, Marion decided to walk forward and dump him. And he dumped him, but he didn't get on top and do any work. But he dumped him, so that's a point for Muay Thai. But this isn't Muay Thai, bro. This is MMA. Wright catches Boris, slips, he falls down in this round. One more takedown against the fence for Boris, and, you know, he couldn't get the job done. Wasn't enough. Great showing, though, for him. You know, that was a tough fight for Marion Zarkowski. This guy was a former welterweight champ. This is a lightweight battle. So he fought a stronger guy, a guy who's going to grapple with you. I like what I saw from him. I think he's a real good fighter. I think he's got a future in the UFC. Will he be champ? Probably not. Lightweight's a tough division to be good in. But he could try. And that would be really cool. Just saying. Anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please drop a sub. Drop a review. It's great for the channel. It really helps me out. Twitter, Blaine Henry TFL. Patreon, Fight Library. I'm your host, Blaine Henry. And I will catch you for UFC 270 pre-fight podcast. Yes! I'm out of it. Later, guys.